Please listen carefully.
And now, live from an alternate dimension, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two peas looking for their escape pod, Kevin and Mikey.
Everybody, welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, it is that time again. Nerd alerts time.
The alertiest of nerds. No, wait, the nerdiest of alerts.
Nerd alerts for May.
That's it. May 2024. All the news that's fit to print.
Mm-hmm.
And may the 4th be with you. Just to get the Star Wars bit out of the way.
Always.
But we have that guy Brad is joining us today.
He's in the booth. Not Scott's out of town, so that guy Brad is in the booth.
It's a heavy, heavy seat I sit in.
Ha ha. No, we're glad to have you. You get to chime in. This is all just the fun things that I found on the internet, and I justify this as work research, and now I force everybody to listen to it.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
But the first part should make everybody happy because It made me happy, and most of the people I talked to that had seen it, it made them happy. But we had the teaser, but now we have the official full trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh yeah.
Very excited.
The lovely duo of Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman back in Wolverine form, all jacked up, and back in the classic costume from the X-Men Wolverine we know and love.
Can Ryan Reynolds seems like he is a magician. He seems like he can make things happen. Aren't supposed to happen.
Yeah, he seems to have an incredible magical power in that regard.
I mean, he made Deadpool happen.
True.
It was just all locked up, and somehow he magically made it happen.
Through the power of a leak online.
Yeah, right. He made an entire football team in England go, like, advance, get unrelegated, or I don't know what they call that, but you know what I mean. They did it, and now he got a guy who said, I'm done with that character. I've retired. I'm out of it. To come back and play the character again. He got Hugh Jackman to come back and be Wolverine. And not just any Wolverine. The 90s version of Wolverine.
My Wolverine, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
A little bit past it. A little bit over it. A little bit grumpy. Very, 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 very cranky. But yeah, ready to go.
Yeah.
This is what I always wanted to see on screen. And now finally I get it, you know?
In the best way possible, because it's Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. Like you're saying, he brought it to life because Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. There's nobody else that will now be able to fill that role because he nails the humor and everything, and we get that on full display. I thought we were done with Deadpool the series. I thought we were like two and done, but they brought it back.
It's wonderful. It's actually really something to look forward to.
Oh, for sure. And the tagline for the movie is simply LFG.
LFG. Man.
Which is, let's freaking go.
That's
for the,
right.
All the it young
really
kids out there.
Brings back some of the energy from the 90s comics, and really that's what they're going for. And I love some of the jokes they fit in there about, like, even Layfield not being able to draw feet, and there's a nod to it. And
Layfield's feet store or shoe store, and it blows beautiful. Up in the background. I didn't notice this until I saw it and then had to go back and rewatch it. But when we first see Hugh Jackman in the classic Wolverine costume, in the snow is a buried and destroyed 20th Century Fox logo.
Love it.
Yeah.
But like it exists. So that's either like a real meta like Deadpool opening, like we see the logo and it gets destroyed and that's what we cut to, or like they're blowing up Hollywood.
Or it's just part of the void, whatever this void is, you know, where the TVA has been zapping stuff since last season of the Loki show.
Because that's it. For as long as the trailer is, we really don't know too much plot detail still.
That's right.
The rumor that the nerds have put forth that I would put a Vegas $2 on is that he needs Wolverine to take out alternate Marvel Universe people.
Mm.
Seems like good guys might be bad guys, but I think it's just Deadpool and Wolvie go on a buddy cop messing up the MCU.
It's the classic Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe.
Is Ryan Reynolds going to do the impossible again and finally give us a Gambit?
There you go.
Oh, that would be great. We've seen nothing so far.
No, Gambit is like out of the set. My second favorite X-Man after Wolverine.
Right there with
is
you.
Gambit.
That's it.
Because we know we're going to do a whole nother show on X-Men 97.
Right. I mean, he's like this crazy Cajun guy who can charge up stuff so it can explode. So he decides to use playing cards because you get 52 of them in a pack.
It's cool. And it looks cool to carry around and throw.
Yes. Oh, man.
Got a great accent.
And you can whip playing cards quite accurately if you know what you're doing.
Well, then he's got the staffs. He's got the cool long trench coat. Yes. What's not to like about that?
He's got the Riz.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's cool.
I can only think of this probably will never happen, but there was an internet rumor that Channing Tatum was in talks to play
Wouldn't
Gambit.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mm. It'd be fun.
Be so wonderful at it.
It seems too ridiculous to work, but I won't be too poo-pooing against it. But I could see Deadpool like knowing that rumor and sort of playing with it.
Oh, putting a nod or something?
So we might get a Gambit, which would be hilarious.
I mean, come on, look. We got Brad Pitt to, you know, play 10 seconds of dude getting shocked in the power lines.
It's the Ryan Reynolds magic that Kevin's talking about.
Who would you have be a Gambit?
No, that's Channing Tatum is my vote. I love the enthusiasm he puts into a character. Did you see? And we know he's friends with Ryan Reynolds. See him in the Secret Guy, Extra Guy? What was
Free Guy?
Free Guy. That's it.
He was great in Free Guy.
Can he do it? But can he do a Cajun accent though?
He's a little too big for a Gambit for me.
Yeah, Gambit's supposed to be so slender,
suave and smooth.
Sure. All right.
Suave and smooth. Yes, I'm hitting on Gambit right now. But who would play Gambit? I don't know. Off the top of the dome, I don't have an immediate pull. Do you?
Not really. That's why I asked you. Could Timothy Chalamet do it?
Oh, sure. Why not? If he's not busy being everything else.
Yeah.
He has the hair for it, but I think you'd have to give him the stuntman stilts. I think
I'd
he's
rather
too
hire
small
one
for
of the
him.
Stuntmen.
You think he's too little?
I do. Gambit strikes me as like a 6 foot. Over right. type of dude. I
think he's too musical movie.
Is there anybody who's that tall in Hollywood though?
Austin Butler's also real hot right now, but he's the underdog to Timothy Chalamet. But Austin Butler's got the hair and the charm.
Sure. I hear since the Transformers movies went back animated, Josh Duhamel's got some time on his hands.
There you go.
And maybe he's a little too thick to do it, but he's a in those types of movies is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It's in his realm of things he would probably say yes to.
I don't know. Austin Butler's pretty good, actually, now that I think about it.
Is that the Elvis guy?
Yeah, that was the Elvis guy.
Yeah, all right.
And the bad guy in Dune
Part 2.
Wouldn't
have to stretch his accent too much. I mean, after all, he's done the same accent through the air.
Yeah.
Through the pilot show.
He was almost unrecognizable in Dune.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
He did not do the Elvis in Dune. But he was flying a plane. We might have watched two different movies.
They all sort of blend together, you know, Elvis and Dune. It's easy to cross over.
Well, I was nodding off.
Hey, man, this spice is ours.
One last fun Easter egg about the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer is that it looks like they're making their headquarters for their buddy team up is inside Ant-Man's corpse.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So you see Ant-Man's helmet open up, but if you go real slow and you look carefully,
there's a skull in there.
There's a skull in there. And they walk into it.
Like it's nothing.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Man, remember how them Guardians of the Galaxy used to live in some dude's head cheese?
That's it.
It's like that, but different.
I don't know how Ant-Man got giant and unalived, but he shows
own thing from the comics.
Yeah, but it's fun to see because we don't know how he got there. Why is Ant-Man there and why is he giant and why is he not living?
Does Ryan Reynolds have beef with Paul Rudd? Like I think they would like each other, but I think it would be that kind of like, hey, Paul, look what I did to your character.
Very much so. I could see that 100%.
Wasn't his boss at the in Ant-Man? Wasn't his boss at the ice cream shop? Wasn't that the pyro guy?
You might be right.
Ice cream shop and what? Sorry.
And when he worked at the ice cream shop in the Ant-Man movies, wasn't his boss?
Oh, that's right. Ant-Man, yeah.
I mean, Pyro from X-Men.
That's it. There you go. Mm-hmm. It's all tying together. All because of Deadpool.
I'm sure it's a different character. Be a really weird lay low place for Pyro, though.
He'd melt all the ice cream.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right? I'm going to take refuge in this ice cream shop where I have to be good.
What if that helps his mutant control of his power? Like, you put yourself in restriction, you know?
It's the strangest, ironic self-imprisonment.
It's a Zen thing. You wouldn't get it.
That's right. Yes. ice cream. No fire, ice cream.
Yeah, but unfortunately, what I'm about to bring up, there won't be much ice cream. Well, maybe there is ice cream, but we did talk about it in a recent episode, so we have to keep talking about it because it is so awesome, but that is Fallout.
Oh, yeah, we just talked about it last week.
There you go. Did they have ice cream in Fallout?
They had Jell-O cake.
So ice cream could exist. But
speaking of Jell-O cake,
yes.
Tangent, this is what Nerd Alert is all about. Fallout did such a good job of like capturing the lore and the game and everything that you know how I'm always like scanning around for toxic fandom to see if I can cut them off at the knees. And I saw the like this list, I forget what website it was, they don't need to be mentioned, but it was like the 10 things Fallout got wrong about the thing. And I looked at it and the 10 things were like not 10 wrong things. One of the 10 things was literally Jell-O cake.
Okay.
And they're like, there's no Jell-O cake in the games. And it's like, yeah, okay. So they made a new vault and that new vault has Jell-O cake in it, dude. Like
it's
every
totally
time.
Totally in the spirit of it.
Yes. Every time you play a new game, they add new things. And like we said, this is like a new game. Every one of the 10 things was something like that. It was something that was new to the show that had never been in the games before, but didn't break the game.
That's right. Really responsibly, really lovingly done.
Yes. The 10 things. And it's like, no, you know, they just introduced 10 new things into the lore.
Especially since the creators have come out and said, hey, we're playing in this world, but we're not taking like direct references to the games other than like the world.
Boy, we've all established, and I listened to your episode and you're absolutely right. It sure pulled enough stuff from the game and treated it really well, like the Pip-Boy and the opening of the vaults and things like that were so faithfully done.
It was goofy. It was ridiculous. It was like three vaults that are interconnected, and it was like,
come on.
Yeah, that's the new vaults they just invented for the thing. Have you never played the what?
Anyway, well, here's the Nerd Alert headline you can throw in that person's face.
Okay,
because Tim Kaine, the actual name behind, he is the creator of the property Fallout and the original game, has come out and said show rocks. He gave it two giant thumbs up.
Yeah. Very nice.
And he goes on to critique. He has things to say about how a lot of things try and hit the Fallout mark of humor and gore and the bounds we were talking about in the episode. But he says a lot of it comes off more Book of Eli than it does Fallout, which great poll, but you know, it's kind of
really
true.
Is. Sure.
Not everybody gets dystopian, like nuclear Fallout, right. But the OG guy that created it just saying his praises for the show. So
that's great.
If that's not enough seal of approval for you, I don't think you're going to get much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. The maker loves it.
And the thing is they just used, like we said in the episode, they just used the rules of the game and put that in the show.
That's it.
We always complain about things that don't follow their own rules or never even really set rules up. But they're like, these are the rules of the game, so we're going to use this. So, and there's a lot of things in the game that aren't scientifically right. But I read from that very, the creator of Fallout, is their intention was to make it the future of what the 50s thought the future would be.
Absolutely.
Like those old postcard illustrations you used to see.
Right. Yeah.
They took atomic power. Right. Versus.
Exactly. So that's the whole point, is that people in the 50s thought that radiation could make you live forever or make animals giant or all those things that it doesn't actually do, but it does it in Fallout because that's what people in the 50s thought it would do.
Which is great. It gives it that storybook, kind of almost nightmarish, parallel universe kind of feel.
You are talking about a world where people believe that nuclear explosions were the solution to the world's problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be a little bit off. And to that point, Tim Kaine actually said, Fallout has a history in a lot of the games of having people tell you something that isn't true. So even if the show says it, not necessarily everybody's a reliable narrator.
Yeah.
And it's like you're saying, he said, he also made the point, like, each game has added its own things to it because that's the benefit of Fallout. You can sort of say, hey, this fits here, so we're going to add it.
I mean, the game's had like alien. It has like aliens in it, like
in
space
a great
men,
way,
like
yeah.
little green men.
1950s-ish
because in the
aliens.
50s, they thought they had little green men. So
yeah.
It's great. It's Adam Punk to the ultimate.
It kind of is, and it's really refreshing in its own, and it's identifiable, and you look forward to a new game every time it comes out or a new show because it's a new installment of My Best Friend.
Mm-hmm. So you were a Fallout game nerd
since the second. Yeah,
okay.
I didn't play the first. I'm vaguely aware of it, but I also was aware of the role playing game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's I don't think they ever really successfully did a series of books. There's room for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They put the books. It's all the manuals you pick up in game. That's all the fan fiction. That's all
right.
the books
true,
they would have
yeah.
would have published, but they just put them for you to find in game.
I feel bad that I don't know about like Fallout conventions and things like that. Like, that'd be amazing.
We have seen them. Really, we have seen some California.
Yeah,
yeah
we saw some
deep fans.
We were at Anime Fest here in Dallas, and we saw a whole entire group of New California Republic.
Oh, wow.
A whole regiment.
There's a good 10 of them or so.
Only lightly served in this first season of the show, mm-hmm. but you know we're going to hear about them in the second.
Yep.
Interesting.
And that is part of our Nerd Alerts headline. It has been officially confirmed that we are getting season 2 of Fallout.
Yay! Yes. All right.
So clap for that, cheer for that. Of course, there is no date. There is no release news. Just
sure.
that you loved it, so you're getting more of it.
Awesome.
Which
That's
is exactly
great.
What
that
we
is
want.
Terrific.
Yeah, that means also the nerd showed up because it's crushing it. It's crushing streaming numbers. It's doing what Amazon wanted it to do. It's giving Prime a boost. But also, hilariously, it's causing all the game numbers to go up. Fallout 76, as well as Fallout 4 and New Vegas, have set all-time concurrent player count records for their properties.
Wow.
Just since the show has been released.
That's a lot of 12-year-olds yelling at me about my mom.
On Vegas, I mean, in 76.
Yes.
I said the word Vegas because I just started replaying Vegas.
There you
oh,
go.
Neat.
Because, okay. spoiler alert, we see New Vegas
That's
at the
right.
end
yeah.
of the show. And I was like, man. And that came out in like 2010, 14 years ago,
Something
I think.
Like
it was
that.
Like around
yeah.
2010. It's a 360 game. But I have Game Pass, and Game Pass has all the stuff
That's
on
right.
it. So
yeah.
it's on there. I was just like, you know what? I can't remember because it's been so long. It's been a long time. And and when we were talking about it on the podcast, too, I was like, man, I know more stuff than I'm letting on that I know just because it's been so long.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as the lore goes.
It's a great play.
And so I started replaying it again. And it has been so long that it's very enjoyable because I don't remember everything. Like, it's not hitting me like, oh
sure.
yeah, I remember this part and what I'm supposed to do. Some of the characters I'll be like, oh yeah, I remember this character, but it's so much fun to replay something after that long. And who knows what character I made back then, because my character's different now. And
what dialogue choices you picked.
Right,
yeah.
exactly. Who knows what I picked then. It's been a ton of fun running around. And the thing is just how the only way I could tell I played it before is how fish to water I was with like the controls, and like I didn't need any of the tutorials, and I knew what to do to fix my weapons, and mm-hmm. like all that stuff was there. But what was funny is since that's a 360 game, that's a couple of generations of game ago, there's a lot of things that were in the subsequent games that aren't in this game at all that you can't do. That I'm like, oh, how do I? I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, this game doesn't have that. And like, oh, I can't do that in this, you know.
Yep, because it was the halfway point between 3 and 4.
Right.
And that's awesome that you're getting back into it. You're one of the increasing numbers.
Yeah, I am. That's why I mentioned it.
And another fun little tidbit about that is if you do want to dive back in for Fallout 4, the Bethesda actually put out an HD upgrade. They dropped an update to the games for current consoles. Doesn't do too much for your PC modders and all the nerds that are already doing it that way. Mm-hmm. But you can get it now on the new Xboxes, the new PS5s.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And it's all refreshed and fancy looking for HD gear.
Well, all the 360 stuff, when they ported it over, it was the graphics are upgraded. I can tell.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny playing a game that old because the what are they called, sprites, the whatever the characters and stuff, mm-hmm. they still kind of move like a 360 game, but the graphics are way sure, better. The
graphics are better.
So yeah. it's almost a little more hilarious sometimes. You know, the stuff is like,
sure.
they're like have that weird mannequin-y
It
movement.
Looks good, but it's acting real genuine.
Yeah. yeah.
That's great. Unfortunately, the bummer news about that HD update is that because it was released, it pushed back a fan-made game that was happening for the PC version of Fallout 4. They were making Fallout London.
Yes, Fallout London.
Which was essentially just taking Fallout 4 and reskinning it to exist in that world and sort of giving it
new
give
story
it a
and
British
like that, supposedly.
Fallout flair.
Oh, wow. The fans were making that?
It was a fan-made game. It had a Kickstarter and everything, and it was getting set to release on the 24th of this month. But on the 25th, Bethesda was like, new update. And it sort of broke all the modding capabilities for Fallout 4.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they had to...
Jerk move.
So they had to push it back a little bit. But how fun would that be? The world of Fallout, like we've seen New Vegas, that's a great time. But to just take that premise and to add it into a new society, I'm on board with that.
Speaking of fan-made, have you ever seen that fan web series that's Fallout-based?
No.
It's called...
Oh, wait, the live-action one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's from like 10 years ago?
Yes.
It's called like Nuka Break or something like that?
Right.
And
not bad.
It's not bad at all. It's and this is not a slight on the people who made it or a slight on the people who made the thing I'm mentioning, but it's the same quality as like a Hercules the Legendary Journeys.
Oh, wow.
Or a Xena Warrior
That's
Princess.
High praise.
Yeah. I rewatched it recently and it's very much I'm watching it and I'm like, for 10 years ago too, I'm like, this isn't bad at all. It's pretty good actually. And I could see it playing. Like, you know how they showed Hercules, then Xena?
Yeah, back to back.
Like, I could see this being the third thing.
Oh, wow.
You'd slot nice. In there. It's like the same kind of... Now, I am telling these people who made it that something you made yourself 10 years ago is good as something that was made in the 90s. But we loved Xena and Hercules.
Sure.
Come on.
And technically, it did come first for Fallout live action, which is pretty funny.
It's one of those things where, like how Xena and Hercules was, you have a couple of very strong actors... And then all the extras were like just dudes from New Zealand that pulled off the sure. street of Christchurch or something like that. And, you know,
can you stand here and wear this outfit just for like 30
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah, exactly. And just say this one line and they would say it so awkwardly. It's the same thing. It's like the main characters, they got really decent actors to do it. But some of the sub characters, you're like, oh, that's your friend or that's the grip probably or your friend Tim.
That's your cousin Tim, yeah.
Yeah.
There are some that call me Tim.
He brought us a Taco Bell, which is our catering for the day, so we told him he could be in the movie.
But it's not bad.
It's a good time, and it's a full series. Like it was crowdfunded and everything. It doesn't have much special effects, but it's got really cool costumes, and mm-hmm. like I forget, where did you say they filmed it? Do you know?
Somewhere in the California desert, probably, I think.
I was going to say, like the locations, it's actually in the desert, so it does look like a wasteland. But the Fallout sort of not correction, but because we talked about it and we were talking on our Fallout episode about mm-hmm. how everybody looks almost like a famous person.
But yeah, like almost they like, almost look like a famous person.
They're right there. And Lucy, lover.
Yeah.
Biggest eyes I've ever seen.
That's right. Giant eyes.
Giant eyes. But I was like, who's the famous person she looks like? Because it was bugging me because I was like, Maximus it's Denzel. Why are you not Denzel's kid? Uh-huh. I figured it out, though. So for anybody that may be struggling, maybe this will help you. Ella Purnell looks straight up like Susan Sarandon when she was up and coming.
Yes, she does.
You're right.
Susan Sarandon had giant eyes.
But Rocky Horror Picture Show, Susan Sarandon.
There's a light.
And Vaulty Ella Purnell.
Very similar.
Match in my brain. But actually, the fun Easter egg is that, and Kevin brought this to me, so we have to share it with the world, is that the number that you see if you have finished the Fallout series... is a real number. You can call it.
The phone number to get a vault and to reserve your space in a vault.
It's terrifying.
213-25-VAULT. 213-258-2858. You call it. Do we spoil it what it is?
No, they should just call it and see what it is.
Call it.
But you can also text it, too, and you'll get a text back.
Oh, I didn't know that part. What is that? Do you know what happens?
Yeah. Do it right now. Do it on the pod.
We will text on the pod. Do I have to text a certain phrase or just say
no? No, just text the... I don't know. I don't know what you put in it. Just text him and see what happens. We can spoil the text.
Yes. Is it 2-3 vault?
213-25 vault, which is 213-258-2858.
Maybe just say I'm interested in a vault or something.
I would like, that's what I'll text. I would like to buy one vault. Thank you for texting Vault Tech. The next available appointment is 33 weeks from now. Please stand by. Reply yes to get reoccurring marketing and other text from Fallout and agree to community terms.
So in 33 weeks,
I can apply or have an appointment at Vault Tech.
That's creepy. I wonder if it's always said 33 weeks.
That's probably the bit, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Vault 33 and all that. Okay.
That's awesome.
It's so funny. That's old school marketing to me. Is like,
that's
great. We put a number in the thing and it actually has a payoff. Yeah.
And I love that too because I cannot stand 555 numbers.
555.
It pulls me straight out of whatever I'm watching. I'm like, oh, this is fake.
Every time.
Like, I don't understand why they can't just park a number like that. You can always
you can call me at 867-5309.
You can. Uh-huh. You have to change the area code though, and different area codes get you different responses.
Like, is there like there? And the thing is too, there must be. You'd think there'd be like a dead area code. Are they all used?
I don't know. Ask the dead people.
There's no ghost phone service.
Probably. Ghost phone service. Kevin just outed them. They're going to call you from the dead area code. 666.
777. Sorry.
777.
I was canceling out his.
Got to balance it out. Yeah. Restore balance in the universe.
Sure. Sorry. What were we talking about?
I think they were actually talking. There is something in the works because they're running out. It may be zip codes, but I think they are running out of area codes.
Really?
Okay. And so they're having to like go to four numbers. I may be thinking zip codes, but you might be onto something with the. Are they still using all the area codes?
Well, you'd think that they'd be like, hey, we need that 555 now.
Oh, right. Guys, are you done with 555? We need it.
Yeah.
I will say that there are 28 area codes in the state of Texas.
Do you know them all by heart?
No. There used to be four. What were they?
I don't know.
Okay, good. Good answer.
214-972. No, 972. Aww. No,
that was a later one. 214. 512,
mm-hmm.
817, and 713.
Okay. Fun fact.
I don't know if that's exactly right or not, but check me on it.
Add the Jenny's number to the end of it and see what you get. Maybe Jenny still lives in Texas.
Right.
But speaking of craziness, here's some video game craziness.
Ooh.
And it's specifically, I geared this a little bit for Kevin's love. But I think we may have briefly hinted at it, but it's now in the news because it's coming up, and that's Star Wars Outlaws.
It's coming out.
The bounty hunting game extraordinaire.
The cutscenes are so good looking. I thought it was like a TV show at first.
It looks real cool.
I know.
It has high level graphics.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is in the news for a bummer.
Wow.
It is a $70 game. That's sort of standard. That's not the bummer.
Yeah.
But now there are gold limited editions and expanded editions that are $110 to $130.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
And locked behind that is the season pass and the live service and all the missions with Jabba the Hutt, the main character that's been advertised in all the promos.
Now, look, I expect this kind of behavior from Jabba the Hutt, but I don't know anything about the other character.
Yeah, he's messing up the deal, man. I don't know.
Is this a online game? A massive, like, MMORP?
Not in the traditional sense, but it is a live service game, which is the trend now, and that's the label that they're giving them, which is that it will require a monthly fee, sort of like your battle passes.
Boo.
They're calling it a season pass, but you do have to pay for the online component and for the unlockables.
So you can participate in leaderboards.
Yes, which is
like
which is a terrible trend in gaming right now that I've learned is called live service games. Hmm. And so it just means always paying for it. And the minute you stop paying for it, you lose access to it.
Hmm.
They can't just make the money once. They got to keep making the money.
I don't like that.
I mean, am I wrong that here's where my genuine grumpiness lies? It's now that $70 no longer gets you the full game.
That's right.
Like, I get it. If for people that have the disposable income, if you want to put cool stuff behind it, that I get it, making a premium. I understand that from a business model. But in this case, for Star Wars Outlaws, I wanted to do bounty missions for Jabba. But if I pay $70 for the game, I can't do that. I have to fork over more money.
Twice that for
a function of the game.
Exactly.
Not just early access. It's just that seems rather vulturous. What's the?
Well, you're right. And here's the sicker part.
Mm-hmm.
All the Star Wars guys are going to do it.
Oh, that's true.
Because I want it. I want to play for Jabba.
It is the hot new thing.
That stinks.
Yeah, and you'd think that you wouldn't have to have that initial buy-in because the streaming services don't have initial buy-in.
That's it.
The streaming services are just this much a month.
That's it.
And you pay the first month and you get it.
Otherwise, and it's free to play.
Keeps going. So it's not like any of the streaming services make you pay a fee up front and then this much a month.
Sure.
Whatever they're doing technically isn't any subscription model. I can't think of any subscription model, even the magazine days, where you pay up front a whole bunch and then...
Right, where I have to pay $70 or $140 up front and then some sort of battle pass monthly or every season or whatever.
I forget which specific company is to blame, but whoever started off the pre-orders, they caused a rift in the timeline.
Hmm.
But for all that being said, I mean, people will fall for it because Star Wars Outlaws does look amazing. I mean, it's
wonderful.
It's the hive of scum and villainy that we want to play around in.
Yeah, but I'm never a early on boarder
for any games. Early adopter. Sure.
I always like wait 6 months to a year for them to work out all the problems.
That's it.
So maybe in 6 months to a year, they'll be like, this model isn't working.
And that part of the model is set up like that. The Jabba stuff is behind a fee that you have to pay for, but also part of the fee goes to content that is early access and will, like you're saying, be released later in time if you just give it a few weeks, you know? Yeah. So it pays to be the patient nerd and see how it pans out. It's just a bummer you don't get to go punch Jabba in the face right at start.
I want to punch Jabba in the face right at start.
Me too. That's why I wanted it.
I feel like such a victim.
Guta, guta, solo.
Oh.
Well, speaking of weird voiced people in the desert, I guess I can make that segue.
No,
thank you for the lovely Jabba.
Great
that
segue.
Was spot on. But we talked about Furiosa, so I'm going to bring it up again because it is now a podcast topic. But
those are some big eyes there, too.
Giant eyes, very expressive eyes.
I may be telling too much about myself again by bringing it up then.
We know.
But this is actually, this is sort of just an awesome, like, dude fact. Did you hear this about Furiosa? So here's the intent behind that. But Furiosa has a 15-minute action sequence that took 200 stunt people 78 days to shoot. And it's very important for understanding Anya Taylor-Joy's character.
Wow. 78 days?
Yeah, 78 that's incredible. Days, that's so George Miller.
200 people for a 15-minute shot.
That's so George Miller.
That's it.
Wow.
And they revealed this in an interview. They didn't say what specifically the scene was because, you know, George Miller
is not going to work it out.
Yeah, he's not going to give secrets away. But they did justify it saying this is sort of, I'm saying this in a John Wick sense, but they describe it as this is the action scene where Furiosa, the audience learns how Furiosa got her powers and sort of justifies her being badass for 15 minutes.
Nice.
But, I mean, just to hear, like, that's the fun Hollywood
so
headline.
So George Miller.
You wouldn't believe the record we broke.
This is the guy who made a cartoon penguin movie just so he could get his last apocalyptic car movie made.
Don't you besmirch the good name of Happy Feet like that. I love Happy Feet.
He made strictly so he would have the money to play in the desert with cars.
Tangent.
And I love it. That's great. That's dedication. My
college roommate worked on Happy Feet.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Neat.
As a voice?
No.
Oh.
He's an animator.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to
Clear Menser.
Neat.
Hope your feet are still happy. Just the fact that there's that many people putting care and awesomeness into this project just gets me more hyped for it. I've already hyped it up on previous Nerd Alerts, so get hyped with me for Furiosa. It actually should be out in theaters now, so patronize your local theater and get those businesses back and going.
Just don't, like, patronize them. Like, be nice.
Be nice.
We should do an assumption for
Yes.
That would be amazing.
Stay tuned.
We'll see it with our own very big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And see who can keep their eyes open the longest. I wonder if they can do, like, you know how you play Dark Side of the Moon with Wizard of Oz?
Sure, like, sync it up.
Maybe there's a game in a blinking contest with Anya Taylor-Joy. I have to see Furiosa.
Maybe first. Ella Purnell and Anya Taylor-Joy can do a staring
like,
contest.
Smush their eyeballs together. Little butterfly kisses for you and me.
Okay. Rat's taking this into a strange place.
That's too Fallout territory for us, but you're on a path.
Throw in the Cyclops and the fivesome.
No, that's Chris Parnell, not Purnell.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not related? Thank goodness.
It is so funny, though, that they have that close of a sounding name. And
yes.
They could almost be, you would buy the, like, I don't want to call
you
it Nepo Baby because that's negative, but you could see that as a family resemblance.
Sure.
He was so funny as a Cyclops, though. Why'd they give the Cyclops two eyebrows?
What? Because it's he's an experiment.
But why does he have two eyebrows?
Maybe
you're going to have to ask the Vol-Tec experimenters.
I want to really bad. Because it does seem like it fits Fallout because, like you were saying earlier, the graphics are a little bit janky,
yeah.
You know, in a fun way. But I almost think it like it was just an easy CGI choice. Like, just leave his normal eyebrows there. Just put one eye in there.
No, if they had just taken like a regular guy
yes.
who had two eyes
and that's
like
true.
And
like anybody
and made the single eye and him like in the experiment and then it
looked like Krull.
Yeah.
Sorry.
See, oh, no, I get it. See, but now you explained it and now I'm justified because I was thinking he's an experiment, which means he was grown/born that way.
Yeah.
But you're thinking like he was a normie and then made into a Cyclops.
Maybe. They don't ever explain it really.
Possibly through radiation.
It is a possibility. Why are you glowing, Bradley?
He said that Gulper was his like uncle or cousin or something like that.
And we did see the Gulper birth, which was weird.
Yeah.
And they have finger mouths. It doesn't
make
any sense.
Yeah, the finger mouths are creepy.
I think I could survive a finger mouth, though.
That was one of the things. That was one of the 10 things that was like.
They got mad about.
Yeah. They're like, Gulpers originally, they made Gulpers be from this experiment. And it's like, yeah, dude, they do that all the time in the games. You find out that super mutants were the result of an experiment,
yep.
too.
And they were all female. Or yeah. Something.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And even if it's not the origin story you expected, Fallout has a reason for why that's
they
there.
I always do stuff like that. Oh, my gosh. That's the thing. That's the thing. We rail against toxic fandom, but one of that's one of those clickbaity things where, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
instead of do the 10 worst,
just enjoy it.
Do like, you should, why can't you go, like the 10 things the show got wrong?
Yes.
Why can't you say, the 10 new things the show introduced to lore.
Absolutely.
Here's my 10 favorite pieces of ice
cream. But for some reason, our society likes that the negative.
Mm-hmm.
And we here are trying to champion it so that you don't have to do the negative.
Yeah.
Why do you want to read the 10 things they got wrong? Why don't you want to read the 10 cool new things they added to lore?
That's it. You can even do the fun negative. Instead of the 10 things Fallout got wrong, it's the 10 things Fallout did better than these things that got it wrong, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
You can harp on the stuff that did it pat, that made mistakes in the past. That's fine. But
none of them were mistakes. They were all just new things.
I agree. But you have to go back to get the official arbitrary pizza rating.
Jello cake. Jello cake. Right. Don't you
Word.
It sounds great, Jello cake. I want to know what that is.
If it sounds like it would maintain more rads than any other food, though. Something about Jell-O seems like it would lend itself to I survived the future.
Came out of a very well-worn, laminated cookbook, you know, possibly with half the page peeling.
Yeah.
You open inside and there's the first six desserts you make with soda.
Right,
you know,
no, it's a perfect 1950s.
That's right.
Dessert, because Jell-O was huge then.
Sure.
So the Jell-O cake, it's brilliant.
When I was a graphic design student, we went back looking at all those old like instruction manuals and cookbooks from the 50s just because they're so strange looking.
Yeah.
But they had one that was like things you can do with Jell-O molds.
Right.
But it wasn't just like a dessert Jell-O cake. It was like, we made a souffle and you can put it into Jell-O.
Here's a tuna fish salad.
Yeah.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. They had that
shaped
weird
like
stuff.
A crab.
That aspic stuff and everything. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm glad I don't live in a vault just for that part of the 50s where they're like,
there's your Jell-O mold.
Science has made food better in the weirdest ways. It's like, no.
It only looks like steak.
I could swear I've seen lime Jell-O with Spam in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very absolutely. 70s.
Yeah.
It's very shag carpet. And
some pineapple slices in there. I can get
or should I say cram?
Pimento.
Well, a couple more quick tidbit hits, nerd hits for us to end out on, but we were speaking about dystopian futures and how our life will be saved by Jell-O molds. There are other dystopian futures out there that Jell-O molds will not save you from, but it's still exciting to hear about because it's going to be happening. Well, not happening, but it's going to be happening 28 years later.
That's exciting.
28 years later is the sequel to 28 weeks later, which was the sequel to 28 days later.
Oh.
The zombie franchise by Danny Boyle and Alex Garland.
Oh.
It's coming back. I thought they were done with it because they do kind of go off the rails in the previous movies I mentioned.
I haven't seen past the first.
The first one had Cillian Murphy, who's so hot right now, thanks to Oppenheimer. The second one had... It's got our buddy Jeremy Renner and...
That's right.
Robert Carlyle is the British dude.
I knew it had somebody kind of big D in
it. Do you know who's in 28 years later yet?
I do. We do. And it's Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and Ralph Fiennes.
Okay. I know who that guy is.
So Aaron Taylor-Johnson is from Kick-Ass.
Love him.
Yep, he's been in a bunch
Bullet
of stuff. And Bullet Train was also great.
And that one where he's got the lion head for a chest, and he like Spider-Man's not in the movie, but he's like the bad guy, good guy.
That'd be Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, that's it.
Are they going to do 28 decades later after this?
Well, that's what's interesting about 28 years later is this is going to be its own trilogy. So we have the first two movies, we have Days and Weeks, and then Years Later is going to be a trilogy.
Oh. Whoa.
So I guess they are taking time into account and sort of telling a longer longer timeline arc.
Oh.
Which is kind of what they did with the movies, but I think they are sort of intending to tell a longer, I guess, Walking Dead style story.
So it's going to be like part one, part two, part three, or something like that? Chapter one, chapter two, chapter three?
So. It would seem that way, but it's more just the announcement we have is just to say, hey, it's coming.
Maybe instead of being really fast zombies like the earlier movies, they'll be really slow.
That's a fast zombie movie.
Right, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was actually...
Am I misremembering that?
No, you're right. It's like Ghouls and Fallout.
I'm being creepy.
Just to bring it back to Fallout again, because this is turning into creepy. A Fallout podcast.
Yes.
Now, it was, I would say it was actually, should get props at least 28 days later for being the first one to make, like, cool, fast zombies and justify it because they called it Rage and all that. But, yeah, it was not your typical slow zombies. It was, they would run and eat you.
Good, yeah, I remember them being creepy.
Yeah, and makes more sense to me. Fast zombies seem like they could destroy the world.
Absolutely.
Slow zombies, I don't understand how those destroy the world.
Especially if you, like, I mean, for how they were set up as sort of, like, diseased and mindless and just sort of in a rage, you're like, oh, okay, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm not really, like, I get zombies, OG zombies being scary, but it's also, like, you can also still buy the internet meme theory of, like, just get in a Walmart and put treadmills around it that are pointed the opposite way.
Sure, yeah,
and you're
sure.
safe forever.
Yeah. Right. Right.
As long as you have power.
But
I know.
These are Omega Man fast zombies. I am legend. I get it. So these are the creepier ones.
That's it. And the most exciting part about it for me is it's the original creator. So it is Danny Boyle who did the first one.
Oh, neat.
And Alex Garland, who's also so hot right now because he just had Civil War come out.
That's right.
And he, Alex Garland also had a big smash with Ex Machina, so sci-fi pro. So to get him back into a property that he has come out saying he's a big fan of is big fun.
Neat.
So it's not coming out 28 years later, but that is the title.
So that's coming out in the next 28 years?
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Sometime soon.
Technically.
James Gunn is on our side calling out nerds for being bad nerds and wanting to know everything early. Oh, wait, no, he's talking about me because this is Nerd Alerts. No, but he did sort of harp on nerds on Twitter, sorry, X, on social media to say,
"Jeez,
quit being nerds who want to know everything early." But this was really just in response to say that for his upcoming Superman movie, the bad guy is going to be, spoiler alert, Lex Luthor.
Yay.
Surprising nobody.
Should be.
Right.
And that's exactly how he presented it. He's like, this should be shocking. Superman is about the main protagonist. Who is Superman? And it's going to be about his main bad guy. Who is Lex Luthor?
Uh-huh.
But I guess apparently people were upset because of rumors and, oh, he's going to be facing off and they're going to pull from this and... the thing we do like to get a little crazy about, James Gunn was like, turn it down a little bit. It's just going to be Lex Luthor. Chill out.
Right.
You nerds.
People were expecting deep cuts or alternate universe or Bizarro Superman.
Bizarro Superman. Did you see our leader, Henry Cavill, was when he was playing Superman, they were talking about how the glasses, why would those be a good disguise? So they decided to go to Times Square. He went to Times Square
with glasses
and literally wearing a Superman t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
And he only got approached twice. And they were one was to like ask directions, and the other one was to try and get money off of him. So he's like, apparently it works.
I do believe it, but I also want the outside bets and I want to see stats on the people that were like mic'd up but walking by going like, I swear to God, that's Henry Cavill. No, don't go talk. That's just some New Yorker that looks just like him.
Yeah, he just wants $20 to take a picture with him.
But some dude's out there like, no, that's my Lord and Savior, Henry Cavill. Right. I know it. But I'm too shy to approach him. He's going to beat me up.
And he does seem like King of the Nerds, man.
He is King of the Nerds. We've crowned him King of the Nerds here.
Over and over.
But that's it. I love to shout out James Gunn because he seems like he's one of the nerds in charge that's using his power for good. Like, good. To make awesome stuff, but also to, like, course correct. Like,
yes.
We're attempting to do here, but James Gunn has the cooler haircut, so he can be like, I can say a little bit meaner things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, do you want a really fun, silly fact or a heartwarming sort of aw fact?
Let's take the fun one first.
Fun one first. The fastest man-made object that has been launched into space has been recorded, and it is a manhole cover.
What?
It's not Voyager, it's not a satellite, it's not a rover. Apparently, researchers have been going through archive footage, and we have archival footage of nuclear tests and explosions.
Oh, yeah.
And on that, they have captured that a manhole cover, a sewer cover, was caught in one of these blasts, and in a split second of a couple frames, they noticed that it launches straight up.
Whoa. Oh.
And they did the math, because nerds do the math.
Why not?
And they estimated by its angle of trajectory and the force of the blast, it left Earth traveling 125,000 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness. So they did put it into orbit. It didn't just get exploded and wind up in Kansas or something.
So
it went into orbit.
Here's the nerd stats. Escape velocity for Earth. If you want to get off this planet, you need to travel 7,000 miles per hour.
Wow.
If you want to get out of our solar system, you need to be traveling 30,000 miles per hour. This sewer cap, this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle weapon, is leaving our solar system at 125,000.
Oh, my goodness.
What if that's what the aliens find?
Right, right. A manhole cover.
And it just like plows through leaves a coin-sized hole through a planet somewhere.
Yes.
Wow.
We're causing destruction in unknown ways.
That's crazy.
Good golly.
But it is the fastest recording man-made object launched into space.
That's incredible.
Inadvertently, but still counts.
Let's trade it with a gray space thing real quick. You know who finally answered our calls and stopped saying new phone who dis was the Voyager 1. We finally got it talking to us again. It's no longer producing gibberish.
Yeah,
they 50 years ago launched this thing and then had to reprogram it and get its software upgraded on chips that are no better than what's in a generic calculator.
Yeah.
All made with a slide ruler.
This thing's a billion miles from Earth.
Yeah.
And for a few months, it had been talking gibberish to us, like, what's a matter, fella? And it's like, blah, 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 beep, borp, you know? And they're like, oh, golly. And through their expertise and through 1950s type technology, they figured out what was wrong with this thing.
That is cool.
Isn't that fascinating?
That is fascinating.
Especially like NASA has reported like having problems with like, oh, we need to find the two people that still know this computer code because they're the only two people alive that remember it.
They're like ancient dialects.
Also about that Voyager, the fun fact, I love it.
Yeah.
Is we couldn't communicate because it reached the heliosphere, which is apparently this barrier at the edge of our universe that's just static.
It's like thermocline in the ocean or river or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so weird.
I also heard it was bumpier out there than I thought it would be.
It's so weird. What are the bumps?
Yeah. Right?
Alien speed bumps? I don't buy it.
Explore like your kids live here.
Careful, alien children at play.
Student driver, please be patient.
Oh, that manhole cover will take care of all of them anyway. So
wow.
But that is the fun fact, the heartwarming fact. We can just say it as a send-off at the end. But that is that Pat Sajak is retiring from Wheel of Fortune.
Oh.
Shout out to Pat Sajak. You did such a wonderful job.
I'd like to buy a vowel, please.
You can buy all of them. Not from him, though.
Not from him. I used to like the old-fashioned Wheel of Fortune when they would buy stuff with their money.
Yes.
And the camera would just be kind of like, you get seasick. The camera's like moving around. You'd have like, the guy would have $1,200.
And he got to spend it. And they'll take the futon and the coffee table. Yes. And then
Pat Sajak would be like, you got $100 left. And they like, he'd pick something like, I'll take the painting.
It was the winner's showcase.
Yes.
Wasn't it? It was great.
So that was, I actually have this in my notes, in honor of Pat Sajak, I was going to ask you, what was the childhood game like that you stayed home and watched? Was it Wheel of Fortune, or was there maybe a different front?
That was, frankly, for me, real quick, that was in the evening.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune was on in the evening.
The daytime one was Press Your Luck, because I loved the animation, because it was state of the art.
There you go. No whammy, no whammy stop.
And then the... You know, Whammy would go running across. State of the art animation.
Yeah.
I'd never seen anything like it on TV.
For me, staying home sick was Bob Barker and The Price is Right.
There you go.
That's the right answer. Yeah. Sorry, Brad, but that was going to be my answer too. So that by default makes it the
Press
correct.
Your luck.
No, that was Barker and his Barker's Beauties, and then the people going crazy, and the lady from the Midwest who kept looking back at her husband who was yelling at her.
Oh, sure. Like,
what to bid and
$400. It's four. Are you saying 300?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Favorite game of Price is Right?
Oh, well, I'm going to steal the Klaxon answer and say Plinko.
Plinko?
Oh, no, the Yodeler thing.
Yes, that was mine. The Yodeler guy. That was my favorite. You wanted to see if he went off the edge or not.
Alpine mountain thing.
Yeah. Mountain climber, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I had to find out the fun game show watch, because that's what Pat Sajak was for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. He's in the pantheon. So shout out to him for all the awesome words and letters and spins. And did Pat Sajak have a catchphrase?
Hashtag Pat Sajak. I'm sure that wasn't his catchphrase. Didn't he wish us luck? And he wasn't the one who was going to be back in 2-2.
No.
That was...
Did he say good night and good spelling? No, that was the other guy.
Read your thesaurus.
But fun rabbit hole on Press Your Luck. The guy that animated the little demon had the craziest animation career. That wasn't his one and done. He actually went on to do a bunch of weird stuff. So go look that up. That's a fun Press Your Luck little trivia bit.
Yes.
But that'll be it. Sending off Pat Sajak and sending off the Nerd Alerts feed. So,
that was an awesome Nerd Alerts, Mikey. Thanks for being here, Brad. It sure was a lot of fun having you in the booth.
Thanks. My pleasure. I had a lot of fun here.
We also want to thank you guys so much for listening. You are our fans, and our fans are called Positrons, and you're the best Positrons that ever were. We want to thank you guys so much. If you want to contact us, you can hit us up on all the social medias at AssumingPod. You can also Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com. Mikey, how do you want them to format the Gmail?
Don't throw a manhole cover at me. That's all.
No.
We're still riding that Fallout high. So now just give me the Raider like ransom note. We already requested the green screen text one. So now give me the like, we got live chickens and this could all be yours if you just send me your podcast equipment. Also, do you know how to work a sand pump? Pretend you're that guy.
Oh, that's great. We always want to remind you guys, podcasting is not free. If you want to help us out, you can throw some caps in the...
Throw some caps in the cap, kid.
Go to
buy him a coffee.
buymeacoffee.com/assumingpod. We also want to thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing and joining
us
today.
Thank you.
Not Scott Productions for our equipment. Jazzar for our music. We hope you guys have a great rest of your week. We will see you back next week with some awesome, nerdy content.
See you later, Vaulties.
Wait, I was trying to... No, that's not...
I'll see you.
No, that's Price is Right. Well... of fortune.
Dun 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 dun.
Clack 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 clack.